Okay, a good vach, everybody. Let's bez Hashem b'lineder. Let's finish Shas together. Tonight's learning is dedicated to Ilya Nishmas Avi Mori, Harav David Tzvi ben Harav Yosef, and Chaim Tzvi ben Avraham. We are on the bottom of Ayin Hey Amid Beis. Today's daf was daf Ayin Vav. Amar Yehuda Amar Shmuel. We are 8 lines from the bottom of Ayin Hamid Beis, 8 lines from the bottom, says the Gemara. Amar Yehuda Amar Shmuel, here's the name of Shmuel, Asara Batim Zelefne Mizeh. If you have a situation where you have a chatzer that has 10 houses, one inside the next, only the outermost house opens into the chatzer, all the other houses open into each other. Pnimi, so the 10th, all the way in the back, Nosinis Eruvo Vidayo. Only the 10th house in this row of houses has to contribute to the chatzer. It's talking about where there are also other houses. Aside from these 10, there's other houses in the chatzer. But of this row of 10, only the last, the furthest away from the chatzer, only that one, has to contribute towards the Erev. Why? Because the other 9 are considered to be gates. They're considered to be Beis Shar. They are openings to the 10th. And therefore, they don't need to contribute to the Erev. They're considered to be just pathways to get through to the 10th one. So only the inner one has to contribute. All the other ones are considered to be a Beis Shar. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Afilu Chitzon. Rabbi Yochanan says, no. He says, even the 9th one, not just the 10th one, but even the 9th one, well, that's what Gemara was going to say. At first, it sounds like he's saying just the first one, right? Even the first one, like all 10. Ask the Gemara, how could that be? Chitzon, Beis Sharhu. But the outer one is a gateway to the other ones. So how in the world, and we're going to learn later on in the Mishnah, that a gatehouse is exempt. Says the Gemara, Chitzon shel Pnimi. What Rabbi Yochanan meant is that not only is the 10th, but the ninth and the 10th have to be Ma'arev, but the first 8 are considered to be a Beis Shar. Ask the Gemara, what are Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Yochanan and Shmuel arguing about? Says the Gemara, B'mai Kamiflagi, Mar Savar, Shmuel holds Beis Shar D'yochid Shmei Beis Shar. Even a gatehouse that is servicing one house, that is still considered to be a legit Beis Shar, a legit watch house. So the most outer house in this group of 10 is watching number 2. Number 2 is watching number 3. Number 3 is watching number 4. Number 4 is watching number 5. So even number 9 doesn't need to contribute to the Erev because it's watching number 10. So only number 10, which is not watching anything, only number 10 has to contribute. That's Shmuel's opinion. Umar Savar, no, lo shmei beis shar. But Shmuel holds, Rabbi Yochanan holds that even number 9 has to contribute, because in order to be called a beis shar, you have to be watching over a minimum of 2 homes. So just watching over 1 home doesn't make you a beis shar. So therefore, not only does number 10 have to contribute, but number 9 has to contribute, because number 9 is only watching over number 10. But number 8, which is watching over a minimum of 2, so 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1 are all exempt from contributing to the Erev because they are walk-through areas and they're protecting the last 2 homes. Says the Gemara, another halacha, very similar. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Aravua, Amar Rav. Shtei chatzeros u'shlosha batim beinem. So you have 2 outer chatzers. Let's say, for example, each of these 2 outer chatzers have 2 houses attached to them on the far side. But then in between the 2 chatzeros, you have 3 houses. 3 houses. One is adjacent to chatzer A, one is adjacent to chatzer B, and then there's a 3rd house in the middle in between both of them. So you have 3 houses in between the 2 chatzers, plus each chatzer has an additional 2 houses on the other side of it. So, Amar of Nachman, Amar Rav, Amar Rav, Shtei Chatzeros, U'Shlosha Batim Beinein. Let's say you have 2 Chatzeros, 3 houses between them. Ba Derech Zeh V'Nosein Eruvo B'Zeh. V'zeh ba derech zeh v'nos ani ruva b'zeh. What does that mean? That means that members of chatzah number one, meaning the far side members, they're going to bring their Eruv and they're going to walk through the house that's adjacent to that chatzah, and they're going to put the Eruv down in the middle one. Similarly, the people from the other chatzah who live on the other side of the other chatzah are going to walk through the chatzah, walk through the house that's on the other side, and they're going to place the Eruv down in the same middle house. So you have two chatzeros, both putting their Eruv down in the middle houses. Says the Gemara, what's the halacha in this case? Ze nase beis shar lezeh, veze nase beis shar lezeh. Emtzai havalei bayis sheminichem bo Eruv, ve'ein tzarech litenes hapas. So the Gemara basically says, none of these three chatzeros need to contribute to the Eruv. The chatzer that's closer to the first chatzer is considered to be a base shar, a protection of that chatzer. It's like a gatehouse. The one that's close to the other one is also a gatehouse. A gatehouse doesn't need to contribute to the Eruv. And the middle one doesn't need to contribute because the Eruv is actually in the middle one. So we learned earlier that the house that has the Eruv in it also doesn't have to. So the Gemara says everybody's safe. None of these three homes have to contribute to these two Eruvim. None of them have to contribute. Fine. Says the Gemara. What about a related case? Badik lehu rachva l'rabbana. Now, okay, so apparently this past case was pretty clear. But when Rachva wanted to give a faher, he wanted to test. When Rachva wanted to test the rabbis, he wanted to give a test to the rabbis. He would ask them the following variation on the last question. Shtei chatzeros u'shnei batim b'neim. So the halacha we just said is when you have three houses in between. What about if you only have two houses in between? So now the question becomes, can each of these houses both serve as a house and as a base shar for the other one? Can it be a house adjacent to the one it's adjacent to, but it's also serving as a base shar for the other one? Can one house do double duty? Which is obviously a steer, the Gemara is going to say. It's a steer of Minei Bei, because if you're a house, you need to contribute. If you're a Beisha, you don't need to contribute. So that's going to be the ultimate answer. The Gemara is going to say it doesn't work. So, but let's see. Shtei chatzer shnei batim b'neim. Zeh ba derech zeh v'nosni ruva b'zeh. People from chatzer number one walk through the chatzer, and they even walk through the first house, and they place their Eruv down in the second house, which is adjacent to the other chatzer. And people from chatzah number two, who live on the other side of chatzah number two, they'll walk through that chatzah, walk through the house that's adjacent to their chatzah, and put the Eruv down in the far house, the one closer to the other chatzah. So, kanu Eruv olo. So, does this Eruv work to allow them to carry into their chatzah? What are the two sides of the issue? Mi mashvinan lohu legabe dahai bayis ulegabe dahai beis shar. Do we consider one house as far as the chatzah that it's adjacent to? It has a status of as far as the chatzah that it's adjacent to. It has a status of a house. And as far as the other chatzer, it has a status of a beis shar. And similarly, l'gabei dahai beis shar, l'gabei dahai bayis. So maybe we should say that both of these eruvin work because the house that opens up into the chatzer is considered to be a base shar, and a base shar doesn't need it. And that other house is like a house. It's like a house in that chatzer. Or maybe you can't do that because you can't both serve as a base shar to your own chatzer and a house in another chatzer. You can't do that because if you're a house, then you're a house for both chatzeros. And if you're a base shahr, you're a base shahr for both of them. So you can't do it. So what does the Gemara say? Amrulay. So when this rabbi Rachva would test the rabbis, Rachva would test the rabbis with this question. So Amrulay, the rabbi said to him, Shnein lo kanu eruv. This eruv does not work for either chatzer. Doesn't work. Because you can't consider one house both as a base shahr for one chatzer and as a house for the other chatzer. It doesn't work. Manavshach, whichever way you look at this case, it's a problem. E base shahr mashvislay. If you're going to consider this house to be a base shahr, then we know there's a halacha, we're going to learn in the Mishnah later on in about 10 daf from now, that you're not allowed to place your Erev in a base shahr. It's not considered to be a makom hukaf ladira. You're not allowed to put your Erev in a base shahr. So, e base shahr mashvislay, hanosin is a ruv base shahr, achsaju imir peses, eno Erev. E bias mashvislay, however, if you're going to say that it's a house, kamatalta labayis loma aravle. If you're going to make it into a house, you are carrying in the house without an Erev. It's impossible to carry the Erev, the bread that you placed in there. You're not allowed to carry it through the house that did not contribute to your Erev. Right, so if both of them are houses, that means you need the inner house to contribute to the Erev, and it didn't contribute. So you can't carry the Erev through the un-Erev house back to your house. You can't carry there because the house that you're going through only made an Erev with the other chutzah. It didn't contribute to that Erev because you're calling it a Beis Shahr. So you can't have it both ways. You can't consider a house both a Beis Shahr for one chatzer and a house for the other chatzer. If it's a Beis Shahr, then you can't put an Erev in there. If it's a house, then it needs to contribute to the Erev, and it didn't do that. So either way, you have a problem. Asks the Gemara, Umay Shna Midarava. How is this case with the two houses in between the two chatzeros, how is this case any different from the case of Rava? To Amar Rava, because Rava said in a totally different context, Amru lo shnayim tseva areva leinu. Simple pshat here, we're talking about Erev Tchumen. So let's say two people go over to, Reuven and Shimon go over to Levi, and they say, Levi, please make for each of us a separate Erev Tchumen. One of them he placed the Erev while it was still light outside, and the other one he placed mamish in the middle of Bein Hashmashos when it was Suffolk Yom, Suffolk Laila. The one that he placed it for sure in a good time, the Erev got eaten before it got dark, during Suffolk time. And the one you placed, the Erev Tchumen that you placed, Ben Hashmashos, it got eaten only after dark. So both of these Eruvin, it's a suffix whether it should work or not, right? Because the halacha is, you got to set up the Eruv from before Ben Hashmashos, and it's got to be there till after Ben Hashmashos. So one of the Eruvin was set up in the right time, but it didn't last long enough. It got eaten up during Ben Hashmashos, so it's a suffix whether it lasted long enough. The other one, the placement time was a suffix. It lasted long enough, but its original placement was besafik. So, depending on what you say about Bein Hashmashos, you can't have it that both of these Eruvim are kosher, either, right? But yet, says the Gemara, this is Rava, says Rava, Rava holds, Shneim Kanu Eruv. Rava holds, both Eruvim are good. Because we know we always follow the lenient opinion by Erev. So now, the first Erev, it's a suffix whether it lasted. If Bein Hashmashos is considered to be night, so it lasted long enough. If Bein Hashmashos is day, it didn't last long enough. So we could be lenient there. So for one guy, we're lenient because we're going to say Ben Ashmashas has a status of night. And for the next guy, we're going to be lenient, we're going to say Ben Ashmashas has a status of day. Even though, how could you say Ben Ashmashas is both? It's a suffix whether it's day or night, but you can't say it's both. You can't say it's both. Yet, Rava says, in this case, you're allowed to say it's both. So asks the Gemara, how come by the case of Ben Ashmashos, Rava could say that Ben Ashmashos could be both day and night, and yet you can't say that a house, to be lenient, can be both a Beis Shaar and a house? Why can't you say the same thing in order to be lenient? Say the same thing before. Answers the Gemara, Hachi Hashta. It's a faulty comparison. Hachi Hashta always means a faulty comparison. Hachi Hashta. I think I once told you the story. My first year being a Rebbe, I said, I gave Hachi Hashta on the test, and all the kids wrote faulty comparison. I marked them all wrong. Rabbi Shimon Kerner taught me that. No, my first year teaching ever, he was teaching with me. So he taught the guys last year. He taught them the right thing. I didn't even know. I was 24 years old. What did I know? Hachi Hashta. It's a fault. I thought it meant so now. Yeah. Now, it does mean so now. I'm right. But it always, in the context of the Gemara, always means we just tried to compare two things. Gemara says, Hachi Hashta, you can't compare the two. It's a faulty comparison. Hasam, in the case of Ben Ashmashos, Safik Yamama, Safik Lelia. So we don't know whether there's no like one point in time that it magically turns from being day to night. The entire area, the entire time period is Safik Yom, Safik Laila. Lo Minkura Milsa. It doesn't look like a joke. If you're going to pass like one of them it's day and one of them it's night, there's no like set time where it's clear up. Oh, before this was day, it's all mishkabal. It's all mixed up. It's all confused. So if you're passing for one guy that it's day and for the other guy it's night, people aren't going to say that the psak halacha of the rabbis is a joke. They're not going to say that. You're not going to come to say that because it's not very evident or clear when the day ends and when the night begins. Nobody knows it. There's no clear time. Aval hacha, but over here where you're directly contradicting yourself and saying that legabe this eruv, it's a Beis Shaar, so it doesn't need an eruv. And legabe the aruv eruv, it's a house, so therefore it's a good eruv in the house. E de legabe high bias, legabe de high bias. If you're going to consider it a bias for one chatzer, it's got to be a bias for the other chatzer. E de legabe de high Beis Shaar, legabe de high nami Beis Shaar. If it's a Beis Shaar for one chatzer, it's got to be called a Beis Shaar for the other chatzer. You can't contradict yourself with your leniencies, and basically it's people who want to show that the rabbi's words are ridiculous are going to point to this case and say you can't have one house being both a Beis Shaar and a house, and therefore it's going to cause people to make fun of Torah, and we don't want to do that. Hadron Alach Perek Hador. Okay. We now move on to the seventh parak, which is called Parak Chalon. Let's begin. Says the Gemara, Chalon Shebein Shtei Chatzeros. Let's say you have a window that's on the wall that's in between two courtyards. Arba al arba, four tfachim by four tfachim, besoch asara. At least part of the window is within 10 tfachim from the ground, ma'arvin shnayim. So, if you want, you can make two separate eruvim, these two chatzeres, but since the window extends, it's 4x4, and extends to within 10 tfachim from the ground, v'imratzu ma'arvin echad. If you want, you can make all these two chatzeres, you can make them into one big, happy courtyard. You can make an eruv to allow you to pass things from one house to the other. Interestingly, without an Eruv, you can't pass things from one house to the other. Right? It's two separate chatzeras, right? People probably wouldn't know this. You would think you have a next-door neighbor, it's mamish, the same thing. Why can't I pass? No, it's two different chatzeras. Even though it's Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah, but it's two midrabbanan, you can't do that without an Eruv. So, if you want, you can make one big Eruv for the two of you. If you want, you can do two separate Eruv. However, if the window is less than 4x4 tfachim by 4 tfachim, or the window is 4x4, but it's completely above 10 tfachim, then ma'arvin shnayin ve'em arvin echad. So then these two chatzeres can make two separate eruvim, but they cannot make one big happy eruv together. They can't do that because there's no easy usage. There's no opening that could allow these two things to be used together. Says the Gemara, Lema Tnan Stama, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, should we say that this Mishnah proves, like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, the Amar Rabbi Shimon Gamliel said all the way back on Daf Tesam and Beis, Kol Pachas Me'arba Kilavu Dami, remember that Shita? That less than four Tfachim is Lavud? Says the Gemara, this has nothing to do with Lavud. I feel temra kerabbanan. I can't lopli rabbanan leder Rabbi Shimon Gamliel el inyan levudin. That's when you want two things to be considered to be attached. Aval inyan pischa, but in terms of what's a legit doorway, this has nothing to or a legit opening that none do with lavud. I feel rabbanan modu di ik arba al arba chashiv yilo lo chashiv. In terms of defining a window, it's got nothing to do with lavud. It's got to be large enough to use. It has nothing to do with lavud. And four tefachim by four tefachim is considered to be a sizable area that you can get through, you can pass stuff through with ease. Says the end of the Mishnah, pachos me'arba, says the Gemara, pshita. Right? The second half of the Mishnah is obvious. Kevan de omar arba al arba b'soich asara. Once you tell me that four by four within 10 is considered to be a good, you could do it together. So obviously, if it's above 10, it's no good. Why'd the Mishnah have to finish off with the second half? Memela no yadana de pachos me'arba. I also know from this that if it's less than 4x4, ulamala me'asar, or if it's above 10, lo. So why did the Mishnah have to complete and tell you the second half? Answers the Gemara, ha'kamash malan taima de kule lamala me'asar. It's teaching you that the only reason you can't make an eruv is because the entire thing is above 10. Avol miktsaso b'soch hasar, but even if a little bit is within 10, ma'arvin shnayim v'imratzu ma'arvin echad. If it would have only said the beginning, I might have thought that even if a little bit of it is above, so you cannot make the eruv together. Now it's teaching you, even if a little bit of it is below 10, so you're allowed to make it together. Says the Gemara, Tanina lahad tana rabbanan. This Mishnah supports the following brisa. Kulo lamala me'asara umiktsasu besoch asara. Where it says kulo here, it doesn't really mean kulo. It means the overwhelming majority. If 9/10 of it was above 10, but a little bit of it was below 10, or kulo besoch asara umiktsasu lamala me'asara, or 9/10 of it was below and a little bit is above, ma'arvin shnayim. So you're allowed to make two separate eruvin. V'imratzu ma'arvin echad. But if you want, you can make one eruv. Someone says, wait a second. Hashta kulo lamala me'asara mitzas besoch asara. If most of it is above and a little bit of it is below, amris ma'arvin shnayim ratzu ma'arvin echad. So kulo besoch asara mitzas lamala me'asara. But why do you have to tell me the case where most of it is below? Says the Gemara, you're right. Zu v'ein tzarech lomar zu ketani. Sometimes the Mishnah talks like that. It tells you the smaller, it tells you the bigger chiddush, as I don't even have to tell you the smaller chiddush. Okay, let's continue. What about a round window? Here we go, Rabbi Isai. Back to the laws of pi. Oh, you thought you were done with pi from Erevin? Here we go. I think this is a little easier than some of the, it's still a little bit requires the halt cup, but I think it's a little easier than the pi from before. Let's see. Amar Rabbi Yechon, chalon agul. Let's say you have a round window. So we know it's got to be 4x4 if it's square. What about round? Chalon agul, Rabbi Yochanan says, tsarach shehe behekefo esrim v'arba tfachim. Whoa. The Gemara is going to say that mathematically, this makes absolutely no sense. But that's what Rabbi Yochanan says. If you have a circular window, it's got to be, it has to have a circumference of 24 tefachim. And furthermore, says the Gemara, meaning that the diameter of this should be 8 tefachim, approximately. 8 tefachim diameter. Now, we're going to see this doesn't make any sense because if to have a 4x4 square inside it, if you do the math, all you would need is 17 and 4/5. We're going to see it in a minute. We're going to see, Gemara is going to play this out. But mathematically, this is way off. But let's see. Ushnayim umashu mehen, two tfachim and a little bit more of it, besoch asara, has to be within 10, because then you'll get the 4x4. You got to get a little piece of the 4x4 square that's inside this circle. You got to get that below 10. So two tfachim and a little bit more needs to be. If the whole thing is 8 tfachim, so you have 4x4 in the middle, 2 on top, 2 on the bottom. So therefore, you got to get 2 and a little bit so that you get within 10 tfachim. She'im yirabe enu, nimtza mashu beso chasara. Because if you'd want to inscribe a 4x4 square inside this 24 tefach circle, you'll have a little bit of the 4x4 part of it within 10 tefachim. That's what you need. Now, the Gemara is now going to try to work out the mathematics of this situation. Step by step. Step by step. Says the Gemara, Michti, let us analyze this. Kol sheyesh behekefo shlosha tefachim, yesh bo berochvo tefach, right? We all know that if the circumference is 3, so the diameter is 1 approximately. You know that's 3.14, right? It's pi, but the Gemara estimates it's 1 equals 3, right? So wait, if that's true, betresar sagi. So first the Gemara suggests if all you need is 4x4, so shouldn't the circle only need to be 12? Because that's 3 times 4. Says Gemara, no. That we understand why it's not 12, because 12 would be a circle inside the square. We don't need a circle inside. Yeah, if it's, you have a 4x4, so a circle inside the square would be 12, because it's 4, right? Let me give you a diagram here. So you know what we're talking about. Let's give you a shtickle diagram action, right? So if this is 4x4, right? We got a box that's 4x4. So that means so that if you would draw a line down the middle of the box, it would be 4, right? So if you would make a circle inside that, a circle inside the box, that would be 12 diameter, because that has a 4, that may be a 12 circumference, because that, but we don't, it's not enough. The Gemara says that's not true. Says the Gemara, what are you talking about? Right, so the question is, what's even the Havmina? So the Me'iri writes over here, that the rabbi asking the question thought that no, who says you need 4x4? If you have a window, that's 4x4. If it's a circle, that's good enough too. That's what they thought, that the circle. But the Chiddush is now, no, you need the corners of the 4x4 also. A window 4x4 is not good enough because you don't have the corners. You lose the corners. So the Gemara says, Hani mili bi'igula. That's true with a circle that's inside a square. Aval biribua. But if you want a circle outside a square, you need more than 12. So the Gemara says, okay, well, how much do you need? Michti, kama maruba yeser al ha'igol. How much circumference does a square have over a circle? Revia, it's 1/4 more. Because a circle inside a square is 12, but the square itself is 16. Bishitzar sagya. So shouldn't a circle of 16 be enough? Says the Gemara, no. Hani mili igula denafik migo ribua. That is, if you would just take the square and make it into a circle. Aval ribua denafik migo igula. But if you want the circle to be around the square, meaning that the square is inside the circle, b'inantfei, you need more than 16. You need more than just the 16 of the outside. Right, the word isn't circumference. What's the word if you have a 4x4? The area on the outside, 16. What's that number 16? If you have a 4x4 square, what's that called? on the outside. Never such a great math student. Whatever, what's it called? Somebody knows here. What's it called?
Diameter you're talking about?
No, I'm talking if you have a square that's 4 by 4, so the number 16, which takes into account the entire area on the outside, what's that called?
Perimeter?
No. Yeah. Okay, that's probably right. Whatever, something like that. The perimeter,
it's
right.
It's still called a circumference.
Really? Even though it's a square, it's still called a...
if it's a square or a circle.
Oh, yeah, there we go. Wow, I thought circumference...
And as far as the circle being 4 across, the radius is 2. So you have pi squared equals 24. So 24 seems correct.
No. We're gonna see it in 1 second. We're gonna see it in 1 second. Because if you have a square that's 4 by 4, if you have a square that's 4 by 4.
That's the surface area, not the circumference. I think it's called the surface area.
No.
Includes everything in between.
Yeah, the surface area is the area. I just want to know the measure. It happens to be the same in this case, actually. Interesting. If it's 4 by 4. So the surface area is 16 and the outer perimeter is 16. All right, let's just keep going. Let's see. Bina Tvei says more. My time, I'm Misha Morsa de Karnasa, because you also need the area of the corners. Someone says, okay, well, how much is it? It's still not 24. Let's see. Michti. Kol Amsa Biribua. Whenever you have a 1 amma by 1 amma square, what is the hypotenuse. If you have a square that's 1 amma by 1 amma, the hypotenuse would be if you draw a diagonal from one corner of that square to the other corner of that square. What would it be? If it's 1 by 1, then the diagonal is 1 2/5, 1.4. Okay? So if you have a 1 amma by 1 amma, so the diagonal would be 1.4, 1 2/5. So now do the math now. If it's 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim, what's your diagonal? Your diagonal would be 5 3/5. Multiply that by 3 for your circumference, and you end up with what's 5 3/5 times 3? 16 4/5. So the circumference shouldn't have to be 24. It should be 16 4/5, even if you want to have a 4 by 4 square, which has a hypotenuse of 5 3/5. That means the circle around such a thing should be 16 4/5. That's the Gemara's Kasha. Bishiv sar naki chumsha sagi. 17 - 1/5 should be enough. 16 4/5. Let me just draw this out for you so you know what I'm talking about. Watch. Watch the drawing so we know what we're talking about. Dr. Pike, like this. If you have a box that's 4 by 4, got it? 4 by 4. Now, I want to draw a circle around this box, right? That's what I need. I need a circle that this whole box could be in. Watch this, watch. So what's going to be your diagonal? Your diagonal is going to be, what did we say, 5 3/5, right? Because 1 by 1 is 1 2/5. So 4 by 4 is like, 4 by 4 is 4 8/5, which is, right, because you have 8/5, because 1 would be 1 2/5, 4 is 4 8/5. 4 8/5 is the same as saying 5 3/5. So, Rabbi Yisai, if you have a square that's 4 by 4, the diagonal will be 5 3/5. Now I want to draw a circle around that with a diagonal of 5 3/5. So the circle is going to be 3 times 5 3/5, because pi is 3 times 1. So you take the 5 3/5 times 3, you end up with 16 4/5. So the circle should only have to be 60. What are you getting 24 from? It should be only 16 4/5. That's the Gemara's Kasha. Says the Gemara, Bishiv sanaki chumsha sagya, 17 - 1/5, a.k.a. 16 4/5. That should be enough. 16 4/5. Answers the Gemara an answer that makes zero mathematical sense. The Gemara's answer makes zero, all the Rishonim say, the answer makes zero mathematical sense. Rabbi Yochanan amar ki dayane de Kesare. Well, Rabbi Yochanan must say, like the judges in Caesarea. Va'amri la ki rabbanan de Caesarea. Some say it was the rabbis of Caesarea. the Amre Igula Migo Ribua Riva, who say that a circle inside a square, you lose a quarter. Yeah, that's true. But Ribua Migo Igula, a square inside a circle, palga, you add 50%. So if the square is 16, you add 50%, that would be adding 8, which makes 24. Now, all the Rishonim over here say that if you just do the math, you could see that's not true. It's not true. It's wrong.
Well, perimeter, Rabbi, I found the words in Koran.
Perimeter, perimeter. That's what Jeremy said. Yeah, that's what he said. Perimeter, very good. Yeah, perimeter. Here we go. Now watch. So this doesn't make any sense. This 24 makes no sense. First of all, we don't paskin like this. It's good that we don't paskin because it doesn't make any mathematical sense. Hold on. Who talks about this? Give me 1 second. I saw somebody talk about this. Right. Okay. Hold on 1 second. Fine. Hikshu Atosis comes along Tosis and asks, how could the judges of Kesari make such an obvious mistake? What is that? This Tosis Rabbi Yochanan? Yeah, first of all, Tosis, we don't paskin that way. Hold on a second. Let's see. Where's the kasha? Yeah. The kasha, guys. Rabbi say, look at the eighth line of Tosis. I involve him in base. Eighth line of Tosis. Vikasha. Heach to dayon into Kesare. Hokhazinan de lavachiyu. Just look at it. Just look at it. You can make a four. I promise you, you can make a 4x4 square inside something that has a circumference of 16 and 4/5. You don't need 24. Vo dechihechi de kame gulam go revoir. So, od heiru. I'll perish Rashi. Lashna Gemara is kasha le perusho. It's a pella. So what do the Rishonim say? The Kasvu, some say that Dayani Kesarhu al ofen sheyish ribua shemakif eagle, viha eagle makif ribua acher. A little different than the Alahekev El Allah Shetach Apnimi Shel Kol Echad Mehem. Shetcho Shel Igal Apnimi Hu Pachos Mishel. I don't understand that answer. Hold on. I saw there was a different answer that made more sense. Hold on. There was a good answer here. Hold on 1 second. Wait a minute. On Shabbos, I can't write down my notes. Hold on 1 second. The Kasvu. Al ofen sheish ribua shemakif eagle. The eagle makif ribua acher. No, I don't know where I saw an answer to this. Let me just look at one other thing. Hold on 1 second. Maybe the art scroll had it. Hold on 1 second. 1 second. Maybe I saw it in the art scroll. 1 second. Give me a minute, please. Where is this? Sorry. Here it is. I'm reading now. You're from the art school for a second. This calculation is a mathematical error, and it is difficult to attribute it to the learned judges of Caesarea. Tosis suggests they were referring to a totally different formula, but were misunderstood by Rabbi Yochanan. I don't know if that gives you any better. Alternatively, the Gaon Yaakov suggests that the judges of Caesarea did not rule on the basis of a mathematical calculation. Rather, they required an inflated circumference for the circular window so that everyone would realize that it was large enough to enclose the minimum required square. They were afraid, that makes at least a little bit of sense. In other words, they dafka made the circle a little bigger than you really needed because of Maris Ayin, because it's hard to estimate a square inside a circle. So they made it really 16 and 4/5 is enough, technically. But they wanted it to be bigger so people should realize, oh, wow, this is big enough. This is legit big enough. So claims the Gaon Yaakov. Now, fascinating, the art scroll says over here, the Hagos HaGra, leave it to the Gra. To the Gra was a brilliant mathematician. But the Hagos HaGra explains both Rabbi Yochanan and the judges of Caesarea in a way in which their statements are indeed mathematically correct. I didn't look up the Gra. We don't follow Rabbi Yochanan. And a circular window of 16 and 4/5 is, in fact, halachically valid. 16 and 4/5 is good enough. Okay, let's continue. Zok de Halege Gemara, a little bit more. Oh, wow, we're already past the time. Let's do a little bit more here. Says the Gemara, Pachos me'arba al arba. If it's less than 4x4, you can't make an error. I'm Rav Nachman. Lo shano ela chalon shebein shtei chatzeros. That's a window in between two chatzeros. Ava chalon shebein shnei batim, but a window in between two homes, afilu lamala me'asara, nami, even if it's higher than 10, in rutzul arvan echad. They could bind them together, even higher than 10. My time. Besa command de mole dummy. Interestingly, that since there's a roof on the house, since there's a roof, we view a roof as if it's totally filled up, so it's not considered to be above 10. It's not above 10 because the whole house is considered to be one enclosed area. So it's like it's filled up with stuff. It's a question of why that's true. So the Rishonim discussed this, why it's true. Esfer of the Rav Nachman, is this really true? Echad li chalon shebein shtei chatzeros, vech li chalon shebein shtei batim, whether it's a window in between two courtyards or a window in two homes, ve'echad li chalon shebein shtei alios, vechli, or it's between two acts, vechli chalon shbein shtei gagim, between two roofs, vechli chalon shbein shtei chadarim, even two rooms, kulon arba al arba v'soich asara. Oh, so what do you mean? You see, it's got to be within 10. And it's the Gemara Tirguma Chatzeres. No, it's only about the courtyards. Come on, v'echad likatani. It says all of them. Tirguma arba al arba. No, maybe it's only referring to the din of 4x4. That's got to be by all these things. But in terms of the din of 10, if it's between two homes, then even if it's higher than 10, it's okay. Boimini Rabbi Abba Meir of Nachman. Lul haposokman abayis l'aliyah. What about if you have an opening from the house owned by one guy into an attic owned by the other guy? That circle. Sarach sulam kavul la'atira or ain't sarach sulam kavul la'atira? Do you have to have a permanent ladder there? Ki aminin beisa kaman demali dami. When do we say the house is like it's filled up? Hani mili menat sad. That's side to side. Avol be'em tzalo, but to the roof we don't say that. Odom aloshna. Amarle einot sarach. You don't have to have a permanent ladder there. Savim nasulam kavur dinat sarach hasulam arai tzarach. He thought maybe a permanent ladder you don't need, but a temporary ladder you do need. Itmar Rav Yosef bar Menyumi Amar Rav Nachman echad sulam kavur vechad sulam arai einot sarach. Not only do you not need a permanent ladder, you don't even need a temporary ladder. Right. Even though the people of the attic go up through an attic in the chutzer, not an attic through the house, nevertheless, it's mutter. So says the Aruch HaShulchan. Okay, we will stop here. Everyone should have a wonderful day. Tomorrow morning, Daf Yomi at 7:15. Tomorrow morning, 7:15. I need another 10 minutes tomorrow morning. 7:15 tomorrow morning, Bez Hashem. Everyone have a wonderful week. Great to see you, Dr. Pike. Good luck. Great to see you.
Shavuot Tov, Rabbeinu. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Esty, thanks for joining.